Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Hebrews in chapter number 2, and it's the first four verses of this chapter that I'd like to read together with you, and we'll think about the meaning of them as well. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word. It's that verse number 3, that I'd like to think primarily about. That beautiful expression, so great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What the writer is putting across in this statement, this really is a rhetorical question, isn't it? That we will not escape if we neglect so great salvation. Verse number 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, we should let them run out. See, dear folks, allow me just to be very plain in my language. This message of the gospel demands today your attention. Not only that, it demands you do something about it. It demands action. To quote you from the scriptures, we must be saved. We must be saved. Now, I don't know everyone in the hall, and I don't know who will be listening online, and thank you for doing that. But I wonder, how many times is it that you have heard the gospel message? The good news of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, and salvation found in him. How many times have you heard the gospel? And this afternoon, today, there is another opportunity for you to be saved, to get right with God, to have sins forgiven, to know peace with God, to know, certainly know, that you're going to heaven. Today you have another opportunity to be saved. And yet there's just that scary possibility today that the salvation of God might just slip through your fingers. With you never grasping it, never laying hold on it. But if I might just ask you again that question for you to answer within yourself, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You see, there's just that scary possibility that today, as you hear the gospel message again, you're just going to do nothing about it. But again, just to use plain language, today serves for you as a wake-up call, dear folks. God is speaking to you today through his word. And his command to you is, harden not your heart. How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, it would be nothing less than the greatest tragedy in your whole life to know that there's salvation available, freely provided by God in the person of Jesus Christ, and to do nothing about it. To neglect so great salvation. Now I wonder, as we think about this so great salvation, first of all spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him, I wonder, do you remember, do you know the words of the Lord Jesus? Have you neglected them in the past, or have you never heard them before? Well, pay attention to them, please, I ask you. The words of John 14 in verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. on those so comforting words of Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the words of the Lord Jesus, again in John 6 and 37, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The words of the Lord Jesus, so great salvation provided in him. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And he's saying today to you, dear folks that are listening, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen, please, to the sweet and precious promises of the Saviour. And the command to each of us today as we hear this message is that of Mark 1 and 15, repent and believe the gospel. And of course, this great message of the gospel, salvation to be found in Jesus Christ, not just spoken about by the Lord himself, but confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And what is it that's recorded by those disciples of the Lord Jesus? Words like these, words that are worthy of our consideration today. Acts 16 and 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Romans 10 and 9, the words of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote them, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice, please, the certainty of every single one of these statements. No room for doubt in any of them. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's the promise of the Lord Jesus to us today. And we can quite rightly take up the words of 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 and say to you today that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, this gospel message that we bring to you again, a message of hope, a message of cheer, good news, the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a message on which God has stamped his approval. We saw that in verse number 4. That with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to God's will. And so then, as we think about this, this is a message of which God approves. And God is saying to each of us today, repent and believe the gospel. And so as we think about that future encounter that all of us will have to have with God, summed up for us really by those words found in the book of Amos, "Prepare to meet thy God." What is it exactly that we're relying upon for that occasion? I truly hope that it isn't ourselves, our own good works, our own efforts, our own deeds, our own righteousness. You know, when it comes to that occasion when we're going to stand before God, I wonder what is going to be our defence in that day. Because God has said to us quite plainly that eternal life is in his Son, and that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's black and white, isn't it? That's the words of 1 John 5, verse 9 to 12. You know, and as I just wonder about that, what is going to be our defence? Well, in fact, the Bible tells us that every mouth is going to be stopped before him. You see, God's only concern is, what have we done with Jesus Christ? What have we done with his Son? What have we done with the claims that he has made? What have we done with the invitation that he offers to us again? "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God's chiefest concern is what we have done with his Son. And so, as we consider this message of salvation, I'd just like to think about two different things. Why is this message of salvation so great? It's so great, first of all, because it's able to save us from the penalty of our sins, which in the sight of God, which in the estimation of God, are so great in quantity and then in their awfulness to God. Verses 1 and 2 that we read together gives us that very sober warning that if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And so what the verse is speaking about here is our sin. And sin, of course, means to fall short. It means to miss the mark. And it speaks about every transgression and disobedience. And of course, that means going beyond as well. Willful disobedience. And as we begin to just examine ourselves and our own lives, we're going to have to come face to face with this fact. God is holy. And every sin that we commit is against him. First John 1 comes to mind, thinking again about the holiness of God, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And what is the estimation of God as he looks down upon each of us this afternoon? It's this, the words of Romans 3, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And as just as we look in within our own hearts and think about our own lives, surely each of us can point to things that we know that are wrong that we've done in the past, things that prick our conscience, things that grieve us that we've done. No doubt for each of us there are occasions like that. And the Bible reminds us that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Even as we compare ourselves, as it were, to just the standard of the Ten Commandments, our conscience bears witness to us the fact that we have sinned against God. And as I said already, God is holy. God is not someone who will tolerate sin in his presence. And in fact, not only is God holy, but God is just. God must judge sin. You see, God is not looking for us today to turn over a new leaf, to put in more effort, to strive to be better. You see, God is a God of justice. And sin brings with it a penalty. In fact, the Bible reminds us that the wages of sin is death. And so God is going to have to give to us our wages, that which we have accrued. And this is going to lead to separation from him and death. And so God is going to have to justly and righteously give to us his justice. God is going to have to judge sin. Galatians 6 and 7 reminds us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap." And so then, as we examine our own hearts this afternoon, and we examine the scriptures, we are reminded again and again that we have sinned against God, and we're standing in the sight of a holy and a just God, and the justice of God is going to lead to separation from him now in life, and separation from him in death, and separation from him after death as well. And the justice of God demands that we who have wronged God and sinned against him, his justice demands that we are sent to hell. The Bible again, just to bring another sobering question, what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, what hope do we have that we can enter into heaven in the condition in which we find ourselves? We have none whatsoever. But today, dear folks, against such a bleak outdrop as this, God is offering to us so great salvation from a condition like this in which we find ourselves. So great salvation, because it delivers us from the peril of a condition like this, guilty in the sight of a holy and a just God who has to punish sin. And so on what basis is a God who is holy and just going to forgive us, going to make us right with himself? He can make us right with himself through the person of the Lord Jesus. Because this is another reason why this salvation is so great. It's because of the cost. The price to God was so great, as it's cost him his only begotten Son. Those beautiful words of John 3 and 16, I wonder do you know them? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or the words of 1 John 4 and 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. You see, dear folks, this is a message of hope. Being offered to us today is this so great salvation. As we think about the person of the Lord Jesus, as we examine his life, you know, he did come, yes, to live a perfect life, to do many mighty miracles, to heal those who were sick, to feed the hungry, to calm the storm. You remember perhaps that he said, "Peace, be still," and it was. And the disciples could exclaim, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" But dear folks, for him, for the Lord Jesus, there was always a clear purpose in view. And it was Calvary. It was the cross that would be raised up on the hill of Calvary. Galatians 1, 3 and 4 reminds us that our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, it was with this particular purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, that he might go to Calvary. Not just to be crucified at the hands of men, not just to have a robe of mockery placed upon him and a crown of thorns, but the Bible tells us about hours of darkness. And it would be there that God would lay down a righteous basis on which we could be forgiven. Romans 3 reminds us that it is because of this that God can now remain just and be the justifier of him, the person that believes in Jesus. All because he has made him to be sin for us. That one that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so, dear folks, today being offered to us so great salvation, because it can deliver us from peril that is so great. It can deliver us because of the cost that was paid, which was so great, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Romans 5 and 1 gives us such wonderful reassurance that therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God is demanding of us today. Faith in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. And just as we think about the finished work of the Lord Jesus, we need to remember too the fact that he was resurrected from among the dead, and he's been given glory. You see, we don't preach to you today a Saviour who is dead, who remains in a grave, but we preach to you today a Saviour who's been glorified. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the resurrection can give us such wonderful reassurance. The Bible reminds us that it is by many infallible proofs that the Saviour has been proven to be alive. You know, he was seen by Peter. He was seen by the 12. He was seen by over 500 people at once. He lives. The Saviour lives. And from that we can draw this confidence that because he lives, God is absolutely satisfied with his finished work at Calvary. You remember, I hope, those beautiful words that he cried, "It is finished," and he could bow his head and dismiss his spirit. And if God is satisfied, then so too can we be satisfied. I wonder then, as we consider salvation like this that is so great, might I just pose to you again that question, how then are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, it's just, as I said at the start, there's that scary possibility that today, as you hear again the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, there's that scary possibility that today you might just let the salvation of God slip through your fingers and do nothing about it. But to quote to you again, the words of the Lord Jesus again, this time from John 8 and 24, that if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Dear folks, please come to understand the seriousness of the situation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation that can save us from peril that's so great because of the cost paid, which was so great, all paid by the Lord Jesus. And so, consider again this question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? May God bless his word. Thank you for listening.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.